Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Another big story of the weekend, you know what it is. It is the Guardians in Minnesota, 4-game set. They've got a doubleheader today. Joey Cantillo will throw, and then Alex Cobb. He'll make his debut as a member of the Cleveland Guardians tonight, and a lot of folks are banking on him to have a good start and to have a good stretch to the season, although he's been injured, so we'll see. You know, fingers are crossed, right? That's probably the best way to put it. Fingers crossed that he's healthy and is able to throw.
Want to see him. Former Tampa Bay Ray.
Speaking of the Rays, we have their color analyst on the line right now. We go to the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline, and we are joined by super friend of the show, Brian Anderson. Hey, BA, my friend, how are you?
You know what? I'm good. This is go back to work day. I've been off for 8 or 9 days, so time to go back and figure out what to do with my hands and how to enunciate properly. So
do you have to ramp up? So you're only good for about 100 pitches. Then they got to bring in another color analyst, huh?
No. Unfortunately, and I mean, I'm sure that people down here would attest. I'm good for a lot more than that.
Okay, I think
that people want me to tap the brakes at times because I, especially coming off of a hiatus, I'll have a lot to say.
What do you do on a hiatus during the season?
He just stores up words. That's what he does.
I store up words, but guess what? Guess where I was last weekend?
In Cleveland.
SummerSlam.
Wow. How was it?
Oh, bro. It was awesome. And I mean, it was going to be a quick trip no matter what. But we stayed downtown at that Hotel Indigo. They had the SummerSlam kickoff. It was literally in the parking lot, about 100 feet from the entrance to the hotel. You could see the people starting to gather from our room. It was incredible. And of course, you know, Cleveland is playing Baltimore at baseball. Sabathia is getting his number retired. You know, you've got Friday Night SmackDown was literally across the street from where we stayed, and then SummerSlam Saturday night. It was, downtown was an absolute zoo. And so, it was a lot of fun. And SummerSlam itself was, it was awesome. It blew the kids' mind. You know, it's funny, when we went to that SummerSlam kickoff, I didn't know what that was going to be all about. And all of a sudden they bring out, you know, Michael Cole, the announcer, he brings out Pat McAfee, and then they start bringing out the wrestlers, and they're kind of hyping their match and, you know, getting a little Q&A, and you know, because of the nature of what I've done, you know, been able to play in the big leagues for an awful long time, and now I'm fortunate enough to be able to do, you know, TV work, and you get to meet a lot of people, and you get to come across some really cool things. I don't get starstruck. I really don't get starstruck. But I'm going to tell you something. When they were coming out, I found myself getting like, oh, this is really cool. Like, this is really cool. Like, I had no idea what to expect. And I found myself a little starstruck. And my kids, my good Lord Almighty, their little heads were exploding. I mean, Harper's like, Dad, I got to see Seth Rollins and Rhea Ripley in real life. And I'm going to get to see him on Saturday, too. I mean, they were beside themselves. It was an absolute blast couple days.
You ever realize that kids think of you that way?
No, I don't. I shouldn't say that. As you get some perspective and you get a little bit older and you have lived it, and you hope that you were wise enough when you lived it to, you know, I don't know, give these people what they're looking for. And I think that overall, I think a lot of guys do that. I mean, there are times where you're focused on your job or maybe you're going through a tough stretch and it's not always a lot of fun, but you try to be as accommodating as you can. But as you get perspective and you move beyond that, you realize, yeah, that it is a big deal. You watch kids meet somebody who may not even necessarily be a marquee player, but the excitement as they're done getting the autograph and the turn and the look up at the parents like, he just signed my ball. I was that close to him. And you watch that from afar, and you're like, that's a big deal. It's a big deal, and you just hope that you were as accommodating as you thought you were back in the day, because it's not the same anymore. It's, you know, I was joking with somebody the other day. I don't get asked for autographs very often. I on the road occasionally, as I'm getting on the bus, someone will say, hey, BA, can you sign a couple cards for me? Great. But I was laughing with one of them this last road trip that I had gone on, this a couple weeks ago now. But I said, you know, there's a time where you are so excited to sign autographs. Like, somebody wants me to write my name on a card or a piece of paper. Like, you're so excited for it. Then you play long enough, there are times where it gets to be a little bit like, oh, again, you know what I mean? You still do it. Sure. You're accommodating and all that. But then it goes away. And then all of a sudden, maybe if you stay in the game, like I've been fortunate to be able to do, it starts to pick back up again, you know, on some of these road trips, and you're that much excited again. Like, wait, you want my autograph? Shit, it's been a while since I've done one of these. It's the same thing with being carded. How excited were you to get carded when you were 21? Like, dude, I'm official. Boom. And then you get to that age where you're like, really? You want to see my ID? You kidding me? You know, and you go through that phase where you're annoyed, and then you get to that age where you're like, wait, you want to card me? Oh, okay. Wow, I'm way old. You know, here, card me. I mean, it's the same thing with the autographs and getting carded.
BA, would you believe the other day I was buying a bottle of wine, and Andy just, it was for my wife. I don't drink.
Well, no, that's not the point. I would think you're going to tell me you got carded.
I was buying a bottle of wine at a grocery store, and a gal was getting trained, and she asked me for my ID. I got carded. Yes. And I said, I said, really? So I was wearing a hat. Yeah. I took off my hat. I said, does this count? Said, no, I need to see your ID, sir.
I said, need to see it. Yeah. You don't know whether to high five her or hug her. Like, you're like, yes, I'm getting carded at this age. That's the greatest compliment in the world.
I always say thank you.
Exactly.
That's a thank you.
She was just following protocol. She knew I was over 21.
All right.
23, 24, you know.
I got to turn to baseball here.
What do we got?
All right, so here's the deal. So Guardians this weekend, they have a four-game set against the Twins, right? They have 3.5 game lead on the Twins, 4 on the Royals. We're sitting here going, man, this is a four-game series. We're going to see Alex Cobb tonight. We're really excited about it. But, you know, they've had this whole season. They're 20 games over 500, but yet it does feel like on the outside that things could be slipping away because they're on a five-game losing streak. Is there a difference in the reality of being actually inside that clubhouse and for what we see as fans on the outside? You know what I'm saying? Like, Guardians fans can be saying, oh, this whole thing's slipping away. Or they're going to be like, oh, well, this will be a great weekend. Like, what are they actually feeling inside a clubhouse when you know it's a big series? There's no way they don't.
No, right. And as much as they say that, hey, it's just another game. Yeah, it's a division opponent, blah, 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 blah. No, they know it's a big game. And they know it's a big series, and I think the attention to detail gets a little bit more focused. You know, I think that the game plans and stuff like that. Now, you don't want to end up putting yourself into a position where it becomes paralysis by analysis. You don't want to overdo it. You don't want to go outside of what your norm is. But I think that there is just a little bit more hyper focus in series like this, where you know you've got a chance to bury might be too strong of a word, but you've got a chance to distance yourself. You've got a chance, to kind of cave, and you realize the importance of this weekend, because this weekend is going to be over quickly. I mean, the four games, it's going to be done, and you're going to be like, wow, what just happened? Are we still 3.5 up? Are we 4.5? You know, did they sweep and we're a half behind? I mean, there's a lot of different things that can happen, and because of that, guys get a little bit more locked in. I've seen it with the Rays, you know, when they come into a big series, you know, especially a weekend series with the Yankees or you know, with the Red Sox or, you know, Baltimore. Well, shoot, but that's who the Rays have. The Rays have Baltimore coming in. And so, you know, that's going to be a huge series. And tonight's going to be a huge game because Zach Eflin is pitching for Baltimore. You know, he's pitched the last 2 years. He's had 52 starts. 50 of them are with the Rays. And now tonight, in his third start with the Orioles, he's going to be starting against the Rays at Tropicana Field. So that's going to be a big game for him, for the Rays, and all that. So they definitely field in the clubhouse. You just don't want to go so far out of your comfort zone, doing things a little bit different. Stay in your routine. Stay with what's worked for you. But your mind better be right, and you better be sharp with your focus.
But what worked for them, BA, we all thought, man, how is this working for them? Can they be confident in their process and everything that they've been doing? Or do you think that Stephen Vogt, maybe even the front office, players need to do any tinkering here? Or is that where the danger is?
I think that you don't want to do that, because I think, especially with a young team, it sends potential panic vibes. Okay. And that's the last thing that you want to do. Now, or do some things have to change, and can you be matter of fact about that? Sure. But if there's a feeling that it's a complete overhaul, or if there is a feeling that those in charge, especially, you know, it's one thing if these moves, and I'm not even saying that they've made any, but if you make a series of moves and you do some tinkering and you are a manager with the cachet of Terry Francona, let's say, it doesn't feel panic. Guy's been there, done that. It could potentially feel panicky with the first-time manager, with a rookie manager. If there's some tinkering and there seems to be some over moves being made, then yeah, you can send panic vibes because you're a rookie manager and it feels like, whoa, why are we going crazy here and switching this all up? We had a rough little stretch. We had a rough little week. That's fine. You're going to have those during the course of the season. That's going to happen. You're going to have some really good weeks too, which they've had. So let's not, you know, completely go over the top here with any kind of moves. And especially again, with, you know, a young coaching staff and a young team, because that could spiral. That could spiral if the wrong vibes get shot through that clubhouse.
BA, your thoughts on Alex Cobb getting the start tonight? And I can't imagine, you know, what's going through his mind going. I mean, he's been so successful. I wonder what he's thinking tonight. You know, you worry about your hip, you worry about these blisters. You know, and you know, obviously the Guardians need him to come up big here down the stretch with being 20 games over 500, and just, you know, the playoff spot's theirs for the taking.
Yeah, no, listen, these starts can be nerve-wracking. I remember when I got traded from Cleveland to Kansas City. You know, Kansas City was the year, 2003, when they got off to that great start and they had thoughts of playoffs, and you know, they get traded for me the third week, I think it was the third week of August. And I went out to Kansas City, and Tony Pena called me in his office, and he said, you're getting the ball every fifth day from here on out. I don't care if we get rained out 3 days in a row. Every fifth day, the ball is yours. So here's your schedule. Go. You're pitching tonight. I mean, I was pitching that the night that I got there. And so I will tell you that I didn't know anybody on that team. And I remember when they threw the ball around the infield after my warm-ups, Joe Randa walked up and put the ball in my glove. He goes, hey, my name's Joe. We'll talk after the game. And walked back to his position. And so all that to say, the feeling is, I can't be the guy that screws this up. I mean, so there's some pressure that comes with, you know, being a guy that everybody's looking to be a difference maker and to be a guy that puts you over the top. That's what these moves are all about. We make moves to get better and to put a team over the top. If you're one of those moves, then there is a certain amount of pressure that comes with that. So I'm sure that Alex will be feeling that. The great thing is he's a veteran. He's been there. He's done that. He's pitched in big games, and he's one of those guys. He's got the heart of a lion. I love this kid. Loved him when he was with Tampa Bay. I'm so excited to see how he does tonight. I'm so glad to see that he's still in the league. He is a battler, and yeah, you guys are going to love him. He's accountable. If he has a rough game, he's going to stand up there and say, you know what, I got to be better. I've got to be better. This isn't good enough. And if he has a good game, he's going to be humble and thank all of his teammates. That's just the type of guy he is, and he's a pretty good pitcher on top of all that. So yeah, you got a good one there in Alex, provided, you know, if he's healthy, he's gonna do good things for them.
Hey, Brian, real quick, wasn't Mike Sweeney there too? Wasn't he? I'd never heard a bad thing about that guy. Like, he was
all-timer teammate. What I mean, the most positive, just an all-timer teammate, encouraging, positive, really, really good player, but even better human and teammate. He was one of the best. I love that guy.
The way you describe Alex Cobb, this seems like an opportunity waiting for a guy with that kind of a personality, that kind of an approach to things, BA, because, man, this team needs somebody who can step up and throw 5, 6, 7 innings on a regular basis. You like the match between his personality and where this team is and what they need?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, his personality fits on any team. And it especially fits on a young team with an impressionable young players that are going to be, whether they realize it or not, looking to him and seeing how he goes about his business. You know, he's got a chance to make a lot of impact on this team, out on the mound and in that clubhouse. Not that he is I'm going to take the clubhouse over and look at me, I'm a leader. No. Just by example. You know what I mean? Just by example, the way that he's going to put the work in, you know, he's got a system. He's a veteran. He knows what works for him and what doesn't work so much. And so he will set a great example. And, you know, and hopefully for his sake and for, you know, and for Cleveland, you know, for the team's sake, he does the same thing out there on the mound, which he is more than capable of doing.
If you're watching a guy that, you know, was dealing with hip stuff, and you know, is coming out and making a start, what are you watching for to make sure that he's right, that he's healthy? Like, if you were calling this game, like, you're keeping your eye on what to make sure that he's staying the course where they need him to.
Well, the first thing I'm going to look at is the rhythm and the smoothness, if you will, of his delivery. Does it look smooth? Does everything look smooth? Does it look rhythmic? And when that front foot hits the ground, what's the explosion like to the plate? How the quick twitch to the plate, how does it look? Does it look powerful or does it look labored? I mean, that's what I'd be looking for. So I'd be looking for how smooth is the delivery, what's the rhythm like in the delivery, and when his front foot hits the ground and those hips explode towards home plate, do they explode or do they meander? Do they move? Does it look labored? Those are the two things I would look for.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
When you see young guys getting managerial gigs, Stephen Vogt here, Grady Sizemore just gets a job in Chicago.
Were you surprised by that?
What goes through your mind?
Yes, I was. I was very surprised. But then again, I'm not. You're seeing it more and more. You're seeing young guys with zero experience getting manager's job. And I'm sorry, but at the end of the day, a lot of it is because they're not actually managing. They may be managing behind the scenes. They may be managing the players. They are basically the liaison between the front office and the analytics people and the players. They're the go-between. But you know, they have zero experience managing. And quite frankly, I mean, more and more the game is telling you, you don't need any. Because we're running the game from upstairs. We're running the game from upstairs. And you're there to make the moves, to have the players' backs, to be able to take the information that we hand off and to be able to disseminate it to these guys in a manner in which it's going to benefit them. You know, understand who needs more information, who should actually have less, you know, all of those things, and build a strong coaching staff that can work with their positions, you know, whatever the, you know, they base running infield guy, you know, whatever it may be, but you're seeing that more and more. So while it's surprising the way that the game is being run today, it's not surprising. It's not surprising at all. But even so, yes, I was surprised that Grady got named interim manager. Well, I mean, listen, I hope the best for him because just the little bit of time that you got to spend around him when he was with Tampa, and it wasn't very long, and knowing what he had done for Cleveland, you root for him and you want him to do well. But my good Lord, what a dumpster fire of an organization that he's taking over right now. Jeez and rice. I mean, these people. That's embarrassing. It's embarrassing what they have done to that organization, that team, and in that city. You know, challenging the 62 Mets for the worst record in the history of baseball, at least the Mets had the excuse they were an expansion team. This is just an organization that has been run straight into the ground. I mean, right off the road into a ditch. So I don't know where they go from there, but you hope that he can give them some kind of spark and maybe they can win 3 out of their next 10. Who knows?
B.A., thank you. As always, have a great weekend. We will talk to you next week. You're the man. Thank you, B.A.
Thanks, Brian. All right, boys.
Brian Anderson right there on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We'll talk about some of the things he had to say.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.